One heart, one mind. That's where we are. Acts chapter 4. Let's remind ourselves where we came from. Last night, when they saw the courage of Peter. Time out. Did you guys notice that last night was by far our best night together? Yes. Did you also notice the correlation between the more you talked, the less I had to, therefore it was our best night together last night? Yes, you did. And did you also notice that we had brand new voices last night speaking? I love that. Let's keep it up. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Here was the part that you guys did not get to, potentially. And so let's speed through the story. The chief priests, the Sadducees, the temple guard, they said, what are we going to do with them? Because everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they have performed a notable sign and we cannot deny it. Did you see the plan? The plan was to say like, nuh-uh. And they're like, oh wait, there's Ron. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer. Obviously, Peter and John reply, pshaw, what is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judge. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard, and you all know who is coming next. We are all witnesses again and again and again. We hear this. So, into this morning, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. You remember what the chief priests said? They said this, don't speak any longer about it. And so, when the people heard this, so when Peter and John went back to their friends, to their community, look at what all of those people did together. They raised their voices together in prayer to God. And so, if someone asks you, what does it mean to pray? How would you answer them? Prayer is about posture. That means head down, eyes closed. It means standing still. It means eyes up, arms open. I don't know. Is prayer about posture? Is prayer about timing? Just before we eat, is prayer about timing when we're together in church? Is prayer about the crazy shakaka happening? As you know, we're reading Acts, and so what the heck? Is it about what I want and say? Is prayer about what I want? And is what I say valuable in prayer? But is it also about what God wants? Or is prayer about who I am in the world? Is prayer about posture, timing, crazy, shakaka? Is it about the things I want, the things I say, about what God wants, or about who I am? Ready? Go. Okay, hey, great. Thanks for jumping back. Remember, we're on a time limit this morning, so we got to get cranking. So if we said, what's the least important of all of these? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, what's the least important thing whenever we would teach someone how to pray? Where would we go? Respond digitally. Lots of ones and twos. 9, weird, okay. Okay, got some fours, but primarily ones and twos. So posture and timing are primarily the least important things. So if we say 3, 4, and 5 are kind of the most important things, which one will we put at the top? It's about who I am, it's about what I say, but more about what God wants, or about the crazy stuff that we're seeing happen. 3, 4, 5 are your only answers here. Lots of fours? Lots of fours? Okay, I'm down with it. Here's what I wanted you guys to see. When they all gathered together and began to raise their voices, here's what they said. This is Acts 4, verse 24. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit. We've been learning about the Holy Spirit. So God the Father speaks by the Holy Spirit then through the mouth of David. And David was a king. And so then they quote Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together. Now, why would they pick this psalm, just for the record? Because we're coming just from the place where, Declan, what has just happened? Give us my setting.
All the elders and the leaders of the Jewish council have banded together against the people.
Absolutely. The nation is raging against Peter and John in this session. The kings of the earth rise up, the rulers band together against the Lord and his anointed one. Great answer, Declan. Now, Lord, here comes the verse. Consider their threats, enable your spirit servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name. What was the one thing that the chief priests, elders, the temple guard said you must not do? Yes, sir. Green shirt. I don't know your name yet. Look down. It's green. That's you. Yeah. It's all good. Right. It's the name. The name is the problem. The name is the problem. Psalm chapter 2, verse 2 is about the anointed one. The name, the King Jesus, is the problem here. Check this out. It's about posture. All these people were gathered together. It's about timing. They had just come through a really hard session. Prayer is about the crazy shakaka, right? That's Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Oh, you wanted to see what that was? Sure, I'll show you. 4:31 says this, after they prayed, the place where they were staying or were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak boldly. That's what the heck, right? We all saw it here for ourselves. It's about what I want and what I say. You guys remember what that was. Consider it, enable it, speak, heal, perform. Boom. That's also Psalm 2. It's about who I am in the world. Guys, this is incredible. I'd love for you to capture this. Here's what prayer is. Prayer is calling out to God to be God. Prayer is calling out. It's you. It's you speaking, but it's you're calling out to God to be God in you and in his world. Those two things are happening simultaneously. God, I need you here and I need you here. Does that make sense? Here it is. It is posture. It is timing. It's the Holy Spirit at work. It's my heart and my circumstances. And God, it's your plan coming to fruition in your world. At its root, here's what prayer is. It's God taking his rightful place as king in the world around you. That means your circumstances and in you as you move through the world. And guys, we know what the promise of the Holy Spirit is. It's the Holy Spirit is making Jesus known with us, by us, and in us. This is what prayer is. Let's finish up. All the believers were one in heart and mind. This oneness idea is setting the stage for what we will not be discussing in small groups. This oneness shows up in Mark 12. It's the exact same thing that shows up in Deuteronomy 6. And here's the word. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This idea of oneness is the way that the early church banded together to pray. They were with one mind. And it was this path of prayer to knowing God that brought them together. So here's your final question, and then we will be off to your first session. So what would you do if you had one heart and one mind? Would you pray 24/7? Let's get some tornado, earthquake, rumbling prayers. Would you go heal people, right? We just saw Ron get pulled up. God's all about healing. Win-win. Obvi, everybody knows that. Sounds like I have to go to church all the time. Remember those guys went 9, 12, and 3. Oh, no. Are we back to Acts chapter 2 in the sell everything passage? You remember that one, right? Every Monday? Yeah? What would you do if you had one heart and one mind and this whole thing was true? Would you have to pray 24/7? Would you go heal people? Would you go to church all the time? Or would you be selling everything? One heart, one mind. You talk about it. You have about 30 seconds. Ready, go. Ten seconds. 5 seconds. 3, 2, 1. The answer is quite obviously dead. Is that my last slide up there? That's my last one. Oh, there it is. Yeah, I'll take that. They all have one heart, one mind, and no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. But they shared everything they had. With great power, they continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work. I love this part. In them, that there were no needy persons among them. For from the time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them. They brought the money from the sales. Sorry, I was looking for my clicker. They brought money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Punch right next one for me. Maybe this is the last question. How would you fit into that early church model? If you had one heart, one mind, what did you say? That's too good to be true. Is it too crazy? I would not be successful. I love having my own stuff. Are you like, yeah, I could get down with that. I know what it's like to have needs, or do you know what it's like to give? If we don't talk about it and we just throw up the fingers, where would we go? Would you say, I would fit really well into the early church? Nope. That was not real. Two is a nope. I would not be successful. I like my own stuff. Three, how would you fit into it? I know what it's like to receive. Four, I love to give. Digital. Ready? Throw them. I like that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good. Thank you. Some of you are really transparent. I appreciate that. Hit my last one, and I think this is it. Yes. When we got to Acts chapter 4 last night, we said this is the first time that there has been a cost to Peter. In that story last night, a cold night in the slammer. If you keep reading Acts 4 and 5, there's a bunch of money lost. And there's also death that shows up. 4 and 5, we don't have time to get into it because it's, what are they called? What are these times called? Class times. Joseph will send you out. Hang on.